98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Oh, look at you bringing the energy today on this Thursday afternoon.
Well, I'm excited for you. Your girl is going to be featured in one of the Super Bowl commercials.
My
Did I lie to you? I hired you because I wanted this team to lose. I wanted you to fail. And I sabotaged you every chance I've had. This club is all that Rupert has ever cared about, and I wanted to destroy it. To cause him as much pain and suffering as he has caused me.
Ow.
And I didn't care who I used or who I hurt. All you good people just trying to make a difference. Ted, I'm so sorry.
Oh, what a heavy moment to start the show with.
Pierce my eyes. Ted, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Getting into the Super Bowl commercial game for the first time, our Rakuten is turning to Emmy Award-winning actress
Hannah Waddingham.
Is that Hannah Waddingham.
Hannah Waddingham, who plays
Rachel. Ted Lasso fame as its star.
Yep. Wow.
They've teamed up for the your girl will be on the big game commercial. She'll be on.
You teamed up with Eric to spring that on me. I had no idea you two were in cahoots behind the scenes to play that soundbite there.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's not my favorite part of the show, but I'm a big fan, absolutely, because I always tell everybody, and nobody remembers this, I didn't even watch Game of Thrones. She was on Game of Thrones, and everyone was like, "No, she wasn't." Yes, she was. Look it up. No, what part did she play?
Shame.
She's the woman who said shame. Who like rang the bell and said shame. And I never even watched that show. And before, don't at me on Twitter. The only reason I haven't watched Game of Thrones is because my wife has no interest in watching Game of Thrones, and she's told me countless times, if you want to watch that show, you're on your own, and that's a big undertaking to go into a show on my own with, right? Like, that's a lot of stuff I've got to watch, so I'm going to get to it eventually. But my lovely wife, the decision maker, has no interest in Game of Thrones whatsoever. So I'm completely on my own on that one. Yeah, I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. She'll be on the Super Bowl commercial.
I'm excited. Well, I mean, isn't it, the girl who plays Keely, isn't she voicing all
Keely?
Those? She's voicing all those Amazon commercials now, right?
Keely.
The one where Medusa gets the sunglasses.
Oh, is that her?
And the one where Cleopatra buys everybody like dirt bikes and everything. I think that's the actress
that's
who plays Keely.
Keely.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah.
Love that show.
You love that show. Yeah. I hate your impersonation of that accent. You're not even close.
Not
even in the same zip code, my brother. Not even close.
Yeah.
Speaking of not even close, let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
We'll get the inbounds pass to Conley, and that will do it. The Suns win 105-97, the final score from Salt Lake City. It's 8 straight wins for the Suns, and they are off to their best start in franchise history at 38-9 on the season.
Yeah, when it comes to the Suns and the rest of the league, nobody else is even close right now to the Phoenix Suns. 8 straight victories, more great clutch time performances from Chris Paul in the fourth quarter, from Devin Booker the whole game long, and the Suns train, it just keeps rolling on, Gambo.
Yeah, that was, it was a hard game. I mean, that was a hard-fought game because Jordan Clarkson just decided to knock down, I don't know, every three he was taking in the fourth quarter.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Like every three, Jordan Clarkson from three. I was like, oh, my God, like what is going on here? Like put a body on that guy. And he just went off. And, I thought after the first quarter that they were just going to just rout him, right? After that first quarter, I mean, I thought they were just going to take him to the woodshed because they were playing so well. But then, listen, this is what's happening. These teams, they play hard. They got a lot of their guys back, like we said yesterday, that they would. And those guys came to play, and they hung around. The interesting part is, in basketball, we always say, if you let a team hang around long enough, they're going to beat you. Well, the Suns let teams hang around, but they still beat them. It's the only difference, right?
Right.
I mean, we say that all the time. If you let a team hang around, you let a team that shouldn't beat you hang around, they're going to beat you. The Suns, they let teams hang around, but the Suns always end up winning because they have this uncanny ability to, you know, turn on the afterburners when they need to and make sure they win the basketball game. I mean, it's a thing called Chris Paul, by the way. That's what it is.
Utah made it. It was, what, a two-point game with about 3 minutes to go after Whiteside makes the dunk,
made it 94-92.
And it's uncomfortable at that point.
Well, they had an 8-0 run with Clarkson hitting two free throws. It was 92-90. But then Chris Paul scored on a drive. But Whiteside came right back with a dunk. So, yeah, it was 94-92 with about 3 minutes left in the game, right around there?
Yep. And then from that moment on, it was Devin Booker at the free throw line. It was Devin Booker's jumper. It was Hassan Whiteside losing his mind on that offensive foul. And then the technical foul. And then Booker making that beautiful 19-footer with about $1.20 to go. Made it a 7-point game. And just
hack-a-biz,
like that.
Hack-a-biz.
The hack-a-biz, yes.
Which failed that the first time.
Yeah, didn't
they
work.
Failed that. We want to send him to the line. Yeah, it's under 2 minutes left, and it's away from the ball. That doesn't work. So Booker's going to take the free throw. Thank you. Idiots. Like idiots.
I know. They were admonishing him on the broadcast. Man, you got to know the rule. You got to know the rule better than that. Right. Come on. Know the rule. You can't do that when it's over 2 minutes to go. Mm. Look, it was our own Kellen Olsen in his game recap story pointed out something that I hadn't really thought of when it came to this game last night, is that typically the Suns are a share the basketball kind of team. Their ball movement, there everybody gets involved. Last night, the Suns only had 14 assists as a team. That's just the second time in Monty's career as the coach of the Suns that number was below 17.
Yes.
And the other time they did it, they lost by 25 points. It was a very odd, our superstars are going to carry us tonight kind of game, because it was the Devin Booker show for the entire first quarter and for a big chunk of the fourth quarter, and then Chris Paul in the fourth quarter again doing Chris Paul things. Ugh. You had to look really hard to find other contributions beyond the stars for the Suns last night. They were there, but you had to look very hard to see them, because last night was a very unusual, are going to carry us kind of night.
It was back to book-centric. It was back to Devin Booker goes one-on-one. There's no assist. There's no ball movement. And, you know, for three quarters, Booker, now in the fourth quarter, I don't think Book scored until about 2.5 minutes were left, and he was out for a little while. But it was very Book-centric. It was very much get out of the way and let Book create on his own and figure out a way to score. And that's what he, you know, at times, you know, they have to rely on him to do that.
Well, especially now. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I noticed a couple times last night, there were a couple lineups out there that Booker was on the floor with where, yeah, he better score. He better look to score, because he's out there with Elfrid Payton,
yes,
and he's out there with Ish Wainwright.
End of the first quarter.
And it's like, okay, Book, you take as many shots as you want. You make this a 1-on-5 game all you want, because A, you're good at it, and B, the way the lineups are constructed right now, they kind of need you to do that at certain points.
You know that I'm a stickler with this. I don't know why, but you know I'm fascinated with substitution patterns.
Yes, I am.
If I miss it, I rewind it and go back. Why is he in the game? When did he come out? Did I miss that? What time did he come in the game? Who did he come in for? I have to know who's coming in for who at what time. I have to know, because in my mind, it helps me understand what Monty's doing and how he's running the game. Substitution patterns, to me, one of the most important things that I pay attention to. I don't know why, but I think, to me, it helps me understand Monty's thinking, thought process. In the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, in the first quarter, Ish Wainwright and Elfrid Payton were the first guys in. 4:43 mark. Came in for Chris Paul, Cam Johnson. Then Jalen Smith came in for Bismarck. Then Landry came in for McHale. Then Bismarck came back for Jalen. But at the end of the first quarter, it was Book playing with Landry Shamet, who can't make a shot to save his life.
No, he can't. He's really struggling.
Ish Wainwright, Elfrid Payton, and the combination of Jalen Smith and Bismack Biyombo, you know, for most of it, they put Biyombo in with 50 seconds left. That's who Book was on the court with: Landry Shamet, Ish Wainwright, Elfrid Payton, and either Jalen Smith or Biyombo for the end of that fourth quarter. And yeah, you're right. At that point, it's, you know, you're expecting Book to score right there.
Yeah, and again, I know this team is all about ball movement. I know this team is all about getting involved. But when you're as hot as Devin Booker was in that first quarter, you ride that. 43 points on only 28 shots last night for Devin Booker. He was extraordinary. He tied a career high with 12 rebounds. It's been pointed out on social media that the 8.5 minutes that Booker didn't play last night, Utah outscored the Suns by 10 points. So he was essential to victory last night. And in the seven games, Rob Perez on Twitter pointed this out, in the seven games since the incident with the Raptor mascot, Devin Booker's averaging about 32.5 points per game. So, he's been great. He has been great. He absolutely took that game over last night. And then in the fourth quarter, man, it was the Chris Paul show, 15 of his 21 coming in the fourth. The whole game, I thought to myself, man, Paul's tired. He's gassed. It looks like he's lost his legs a little bit. It looks like an off night. And then right on cue, the fourth quarter starts. Hey, I'm Chris Paul. I'm ready to hoop. Let's go. Right? I mean, it's like every single night. That's what the dude does.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, honestly, all the years I've watched basketball, I've never seen a guy that and I talked to a lot of players when they got Chris Paul, and that was the one theme that we talked about at that time. Paces himself, then he buries you. He paces himself throughout the game. Paces himself. He always has gas in the tank in the end of the fourth quarter. A lot of players are on half a tank, a quarter tank. Chris Paul, tank's good, three quarters. He's got three quarters of a gas tank at the end of the game. Why? How? I don't know, but he is always able to come through in the clutch. It's remarkable to watch.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, later this afternoon, the All-Star Game starters are going to be announced on TNT. Is Devin Booker going to be one of those starters? Does he care? Do we care? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Woo! Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Tweet from Chris Haynes. Inside the NBA crew will receive the names of the 2022 All-Star Game starters and team captains at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. That's 5 o'clock Arizona time for those of you who keep track at home. The independent firm Ernst & Young tabulated the votes and will have a representative in studio to deliver the briefcase containing names of starters and captains. Boy, we are really over-dramatizing this thing. I know, right? These are state secrets. I would imagine bodyguards will be accompanying the Ernst & Young representative tonight with the briefcase that I'm sure will be locked in triplicate. We'll find out tonight if Devin Booker is going to be a starter for the Western Conference and the NBA All-Stars. We're not expecting it to happen. Monty Williams, after another brilliant Devin Booker performance last night, said it's laughable to think that Devin Booker wouldn't start.
When he's in a groove like that, I think our team feeds off of it. And what he's done lately, you know, I just kind of laugh at the voting numbers when I see it at the bottom of the ticker. And so many guys are getting so many more votes than him. It's laughable. When you look at what he's done, not just of late, but all season long, and the wins we have, you know, he should be a starter on the All-Star team. And tonight was one of those games where I think he proved that point.
What do you think about Monty stumping for his guy, Gambo?
Yeah, I think he should stump for his guy. It's tough. Like, I mean, we could sit here as Suns fans. Oh, man, Book got jobbed. He should be in it. Man, it's tough. Like, you know, who's he going to beat us? Steph Curry? John Morant? Like, there's good players. Like, there's good players. Like, I want him to start. I'm just happy he gets to be an All-Star, right? I mean, that was something. Get that first one, get that second one, now get the third one. And that's what Book always wanted, the recognition. So for me, you know, and I think just because we're here in Phoenix, don't care as much about whether he's starting or not. I mean, I can make an argument that he deserves to start. We all can, right? We all can. We see him play every day. We know how great he is.
Sure.
We know what he means. We can make the argument that he deserves to start. But there are so many good players. You know, I'm sure they can make an argument for Ja Morant. They can make an argument for Steph Curry. A lot of it is it's a popularity contest too, right? 50% of it is fan voting, correct?
50%. So here's how they pick the starters. 50% are from the fans. Players account for 25%. The media account for 25%. And then they do kind of a weighted vote among that, and that's how they decide who the starters are. In the fan voting, Devin Booker has been running fifth for most of the votes that have been made public so far, just among the fans. And the guys that he has been running behind, it's Steph Curry 1, it's Ja Morant 2, it's Luka Doncic 3, it's Klay Thompson 4, and then it's Booker 5. can make a real good argument that Devin Booker should at minimum be third on that list. But again, fans are going to vote for the popular guys. Steph Curry is one of the most popular guys in the league. Ja Morant is very quickly becoming one of the most popular guys in the league. He is a SportsCenter staple, and all you had to do was stay tuned after the game last night on ESPN. It was one of the first highlight packages they showed was, hey, the Suns won. By the way, did you see what Ja Morant did tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies? And it was a two-minute Ja Morant love fest. Now, they followed that up with a two-minute Devin Booker love fest, so I'm not calling ESPN out. Just understand that Ja Morant is a very marketable player when it comes to the networks and the sports fans. He's a YouTube sensation. He's a guy you watch SportsCenter for. And it becomes a kind of a difficult guy to compete with when it comes to eyeballs and votes from among fans like this.
Yeah, I watched the local broadcast last night, not the ESPN broadcast. I watched the Bally Sports Arizona and then, you know, with K-Ray and EJ and Tom and Tom afterwards. So I didn't see the Ja Morant interview or the book interview. I saw the interview they did with Chris Paul on Bally Sports Arizona. I saw that where he, for a second, called Ish Wainwright Ish Smith. Ish Smith made that three, and it was that's not Ish Smith. That's Ish Wainwright.
Hey,
poor guy, right? We had him on the show the other day. Poor guy. They think he's Ish Smith. But, no, I watch the local broadcast because they do a great job, and I do prefer them over the national when I get my opportunities. But it's a popularity cut. Now, you can't take the fans out of it, right? I mean, you want the fans engaged. We can sit there and say it's stupid, but, like, you know, they want the fans engaged. They want the fans involved in this and to be a part of it. Maybe they weigh it too heavily for the fans.
Maybe.
And they should weigh it a little bit less towards the fans. I mean, you remember when Yao Ming was getting like a trillion votes?
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, from China? He's getting all those votes. I mean, he was so popular. So it's, you know, from the fan thing, it's a popularity contest. They know Steph Curry. They want Steph Curry in there. So, I mean, they want Russell Westbrook in there for some reason. Like, you see some of the voting, you shake your head at it, but I don't think you want to take the fans out completely.
No, you don't. And it used to be fan only until about 2017, and you were getting just wacky starters, and that's why they created this 25% media, 25% player vote to try to balance it out a little bit. I don't think that's going to be enough for Booker to be a starter, and I agree with you. It's hard. It's tough. It's very difficult decision. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of popular players. I do know this, and our buddy Kellen Olson sent me the screenshot, that for the fan voting never seeming to go Devin Booker's way, the player voting, that 25% aspect of it, Devin Booker has been, for the last 4 years running, one of the most popular votes among players, among his peers. And Kellen points out that might actually be more important to Devin Booker than anything else. In 2018, the fans had him 10th. The players had him 4th. In 2019, the fans had him 10th. The players had him 6th. In 2020, the fans had him 8th. The players had him 4th. And so far last year, the fans had him 5th. The players had him 4th. And then listen to this really interesting answer from Booker last night. Man, I've moved on. I want to get Monty to the All-Star game.
I mean, I appreciate it, but I mean, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm in a, you know, different phase of my career. You know, like Chris said, after another game, we're worried about getting coached in the All-Star game. You know, that's our main objective. So, you know, we're going to keep handling business and doing what we have to do and, you know, let the politics and the media or popularity contest figure out itself.
Do you believe him?
When you win, yeah, now I do. When you win in 20 games, you want to go to the All-Star game. You're scoring 35 points a game. Your team sucks. You're not going anywhere. You're going to have a top five pick again. You're in a draft lottery. That's what the fans are excited. So, when you win 25 games, it's more about individual accolades. It is. It just is. I mean, you've got to for them to have a chance to win when they were really bad, they need a book to score 35-40. And a lot of times he'd go score 35-40 and they'd still lose because they were so bad. So at that time, you're like, man, I should be an all-star. I mean, look at all the points I'm scoring. Look at all the – but now I think that you got a taste – once you get a taste of that, right? And that's why the Patrick Peterson thing always dumbfounded me, right? I'd rather have my Pro Bowls than a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, really? You are in this such a minority of people that play sports for a living that would rather have that. Most guys, when they get a taste of what the Suns got a taste of last year by going to the NBA Finals, having that, they want that again. Okay, they want that again. It's what he's driven to do. And what he wants more than anything else is that championship and get back to the finals. So the All-Star, I believe him. I don't think the All-Star game matters that much.
We'll find out tonight about 5 o'clock Arizona time whether he got in as a starter. No one doubts he's going to get in. No one doubts Chris Paul is going to get in. It's just the starters we'll find out about tonight. You can text us your thoughts on Book and the All-Star game. The FanDuel text line is open at 620-620 right here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Been a crazy day in the NFL today. A couple of coaching decisions, a couple of coaching rumors, and perhaps one organization taking a valuable member of the Cardinals front office with them. We'll tell you who and where they might end up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
We were just talking about Devin Booker and the Ulster starters being announced tonight. We'll find out sometime in the 5 o'clock hour whether he made it as a starter. We're assuming that he's going to make it on the roster. We know he's going to make it on the roster. We know Chris Paul's going to make it on the roster. It's just a question of whether he's a starter. That is the subject of today's poll question. Here's Eric with that.
Yeah, the question is, what will be your level of disappointment if Devin Booker is not named an All-Star starter tonight? The three options are crushed, because he deserves it. Let down, but you understand, because there's good competition in the West. And the third option is Book moved on, so have I.
Book has moved on, so have I.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not... I know we just got done talking about it for 10 minutes. It'd be nice, but it's not... It'll be fine if he doesn't. Because we used to debate whether he was going to go or not, and we used to get upset about it. That's off the table. He's going. So I'm not worried about it anymore. Book's moved on, so have I.
There's no question. You cannot doubt Booker's place in the league if he's an All-Star starter or not. And the majority of people agree with you guys. 47.6% say Book moved on, so have I. 35.4%, though, they say they'd be crushed if he doesn't
Wait,
get it.
Wait, what percentage?
35.4% say they would be crushed, which I think is a little extreme. And 16.9% say they'd be let down, but would understand. That's where I'm sitting, but he moved on. So have we, right?
It's funny when you go to an NBA championship, an NBA finals, how insignificant it all starts. It's nice. It's fun. You watch it. I like the format that they have where you have to, you know, play to a certain number. I think it added a certain level of drama to it. But you go to an NBA finals and it does make an All-Star game seem a little less significant than it did before.
I think he needed it the first time, though. I think he needed it to kind of, for him, to get there and be playing with those guys and be part of it. He was on LeBron's team that first year.
Yes.
I think for him it was not a satisfaction thing, but hey, I belong. Here it is. I belong. I'm on the All-Star team. I belong.
I agree. And I've always said, and I think you've agreed, that if it's important to you, then it's important to me as a fan of yours. But if it's not that important to you, because I think you're right. I think in the past it certainly was.
And he was a replacement that first year.
I remember
I broke the story that he was going to be on the All-Star team.
If memory serves, he's been a replacement both years that he's gone. I don't think he's ever been straight up selected. I think he's been an injury replacement both times that he's gone. I could be wrong about that. I'm not fully 100% guaranteeing that. So we'll bring that. Is that a thumbs up? Yep, get a thumbs up from Eric on the other side of the glass that he's never not been an injury replacement. In the meantime, let's turn our attention to the National Football League. Boy, just a ton of coaching news for a marketplace that was really kind of stagnant when it came to all of these openings and who was going to take all of these openings. What were we dealing with? 9? When it was all said and done, with the Saints job being added to the list, there was a very little movement given all of the openings that were there. Well, today there has been movement, and we'll finish with some of the names that we know are going places. I think, Gambo, we have to start with the big hot rumor that was floating around this morning that directly impacts the Arizona Cardinals. There is a report, several reports, that Byron Leftwich, the former offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, now the OC in Tampa Bay, is the pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars to be their next head coach. But he wants Adrian Wilson, the VP of pro scouting with the Cardinals, to come with him to be his general manager.
Wow. So a guy that's never won a Super Bowl as a head coach, he's never been a head coach, he's 42 years old, He's got a little
power play,
got a little power,
little power play. Yeah. Like, hey, I got some juice in this one. You
got
want
some juice?
You want me? You want me? You go get my guy A-Dub out of Arizona. Then we'll talk.
Man.
I like it. I like it, man. I like it.
Wow. You don't usually see that, right? You don't usually see that. 42 years old, opportunity to be a head coach for the first time. You jump at it. I mean, obviously, the general manager that's there now is obviously pushing for you to be the guy. Might not, at this point, he may not, but, you know, obviously he's got input on you being the head coach, and then you're like, yeah, I'll come if you're not the guy.
Sure.
If we can fire you, and bring my guy in, then we're all good.
Can you imagine Trent Baalke calling Byron Leftwich right now? Hey, man, why you got to do me dirty like that? What did I ever do to you? I recommended you for this job. I wanted you to come here. Now you want me gone? Now you think you're bigger than me? You're better than me? It's great. It's kind of the drama that I just love right now. I don't want to lose A-Dub, but I kind of had a suspicion that when A-Dub and Quentin Harris interviewed for that Giants job, that it might be a matter of time until the Cardinals lost one of those guys. And it might be time for the Cardinals to lose their franchise icon legend who works in the front office to another gig. Good on him, but it'll be weird to see Adrian Wilson working for another team in any capacity.
Yeah, I'm just reading in the this is just crazy. I'm reading in the Florida Times Union. That's the Jacksonville paper, right?
Okay.
Byron Leftwich remains front runner for Jags head coaching job, but once front office changes, one of the sticking points in negotiation between the Jags and Leftwich is how control over the roster will be handled. Reports have surfaced that Leftwich is not in favor of having a prearranged situation in which general manager Trent Baalke would remain as general manager. Instead, he wants Adrian Wilson, who is the vice president of pro scouting with the Cardinals. It's just to think that a 42-year-old guy that's never been a head coach in this league can come in here and make that type of demand. Now, you got to have a backup plan if you're him. Now, maybe his backup plan is, I'm going to stay in Tampa Bay, and I'm going to take this job when Bruce retires in a year, because Bruce is going to be gone.
Maybe.
Bruce is going to do one more year, and then and maybe in the back of his mind, he knows that. I got the Jags. I got the Bucks. I got the Bucks job replacing Bruce in 1 year, so if I don't get what I want, I'm not leaving.
Perhaps. Maybe he's got a little extra juice with the Jags because the Jags drafted him. Remember, he was their quarterback for a number of years. He was seventh overall in 2003. He started like 44 games there. So he became an NFL quarterback, a known NFL quarterback during his time with the Jacksonville Jags. I don't know why that would give him juice, but apparently he thinks he's got some. Now, if A-Dub were to leave, what's interesting about this is that the Cardinals do get compensation for this.
A couple third-rounders, right?
Yeah, from a draft standpoint, if he goes, they will receive a third-round comp pick in each of the next two drafts.
I'll take it.
If they were to lose A-Dub and Vance, they would get three third-round picks over the next 2 years as compensation.
I want the draft picks. Go.
Oh, man.
Go.
Come on, that's gold.
I mean, nothing again. Two third-rounders?
Three if Vance left, too.
But with A-Dub, I think it's because it's a minority assistant,
correct?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go. I would love for him to two third-round picks if he leaves.
A team that loses a person. I'm reading from the rule book here. A team that loses a personnel executive who becomes a general manager will receive a third-round compensatory pick in each of the next two drafts. A minority personnel executive.
Well, Dave Burns. I mean, one of the few guys in the world has the rule book in front of him.
Oh,
look at that.
I mean,
look at this talk show host that we have here in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm reading from the rule book.
Stop.
Got the rule book in front of me. Look at that. That's incredible.
Screenshot from the rule book that somebody tweeted out this morning.
Oh, okay. Stop. I take back everything I just said.
You should. Now, not so fast on this Byron Leftwich thing. Because Adam Schefter this morning reported that now the Saints have requested permission to interview Byron Leftwich for their head coaching job. So suddenly, you know, another team has entered the fray, and maybe the Saints are going to step in on this one. Now, you mentioned Vance Joseph. Well, today Ian Rappaport talked about the finalists for the Dolphins' head coaching job.
Now, the Miami Dolphins are narrowing their search. They have three candidates, I'm told, they're expected to do second interviews with. One is Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, who has been sort of a sleeper here all along and now gets a second interview. It would be interesting to see him with Tua Tagovailoa, who is their quarterback for the 2022 season. Mike McDaniel, the 49ers offensive coordinator, is another one. Had a short interview with the Dolphins, but I know they were intrigued by him. That is another one to keep an eye on. And then Brian Daboll, who I think most people think is probably the favorite there, especially because he had Tua in college and it's close with owner Stephen Ross. Those are the three, I'm told, getting second interviews next week. This also might allow them to keep the defensive side of the ball, and it was one of the best units in the NFL during the second half of the season.
Did you notice what name he did not read off?
Yeah, no Vance.
No Vance.
No Vance.
Yep.
Listen, the Cardinals don't want to lose Vance Joseph, so that would be good. New Orleans, going back to that for a second, yeah, they're going to interview the Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn, and they've asked for permission for Byron Leftwich in New Orleans. So they've requested interviews with two head coaching candidates, with Peyton gone, Aaron Glenn and Byron Leftwich. So Leftwich, you know, he's got in the back of his mind, he can get the Bucs job if he waits a year. He's got the Jaguars job now, but he wants some control in that. And then obviously, you know, New Orleans is at least interested in talking to him. That's interesting. And A-Dub, I mean, Vance Joseph, the Cardinals clearly don't want to lose Vance Joseph. They would love to have him back. But that's the only job that we know that he was tied to, right?
Yes,
is that Miami
so far.
Job. We don't know of any other jobs that he was interviewed with or anybody asked permission to talk to him.
No,
about.
So far I have not seen any other job that Vance has been linked to at all. So it might be the Cardinals do not lose their defensive coordinator. Real quick, before we go to break, a couple of official hires today. The Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett as their head coach. He was the Packers offensive coordinator. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers to Denver speculation, because hiring the Packers OC to be their head coach in Denver is going to fuel that big time. We saw the Bears, they hired Colts defensive coordinator Brian Eberflus to be their, or Matt Eberflus, I should say, to be their head coach. And one last quick one here, the Raiders today requested a head coaching interview with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels expected the interview with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wow. Oh. Okay. Yeah, he's kind of been waiting for the perfect job, I guess. Maybe that's the job for him.
Maybe. I don't know. A lot of people thought the Raiders weren't going to actually hire a coach given the work that Bisaccia had done this year, but maybe they are.
He was going to be the Colts coach, McDaniels.
Yeah.
Remember?
Of course. And he decided he didn't want to be the Colts coach.
Yeah, he kind of agreed to be the Colts coach, and then he kind of withdrew from it, and it was a weird situation.
Yep. When we come back, an all NFC West Conference Championship game. Yuck. But one of the biggest storylines isn't really even on the field, it's on the sidelines. It's a chess match and a grudge match between Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Credit to the reporter who asked Sean McVay if Kyle Shanahan is in your head.
Knowing Kyle Shanahan so well, and with the success that the 49ers have been able to have against you, is Kyle in your head at all, you know, in terms of trying to get past these guys?
No, What I do have is respect for these guys. They've done a great job. You know, you look at it, you got to play well in that 3.5 hour window that we're allotted. You look at the last time that we played them, didn't finish the game, but this is a really good football team. We have a lot of respect for them, but you know, we're competing and preparing to the best of our ability to go out and see if we can advance. But this is a really good team. Kyle's an excellent coach. They got great players, great coaches, good schemes. And so that's why they're in the NFC Championship.
Jumped down his throat. I mean, he could have.
No, he could have. He could have.
In my head.
It's a really, you know, you've been doing this as long as I have. It's a really bold way to ask the question, right? Hey, is that dude in your head? You know, it's wow. Okay, we're going to go there, huh? But based off of the success the 49ers have had against the Rams the last six times they've played, I think it's also fair to wonder, can you overcome that hurdle if you're the LA Rams? I was talking to my son about this the other day. He's like, so you're going to pick the Rams? And I said, yeah, I think so. Dad, you know what San Francisco's done to them, right? I'm like, yeah, I know. Does it make you think San Francisco could beat the Rams because of this thing they've got over them?
Do I think they could beat? Sure, I think they could beat them. They've owned them. They've absolutely owned. I'm going to pick the Rams too, like you. I'm going to pick the Rams, and they're going to play the Super Bowl in their $5 billion home field stadium. But there is a – I mean, listen, this is everywhere. I'm reading a story in the L.A. Times. For Sean McVay to be truly great, he must beat nemesis Kyle Shanahan. You know, that's his nemesis, right? I mean, for Cliff, it's McVay.
Yes.
And for McVay, it's Shanahan. That Shanahan just seems to get the best of him. And there's a lot of talk in L.A., you know. By his fifth season, Lasorda won a championship. So did Mike Socia, Pat Riley, John McKay, John Robinson, and just all the guys that have won it by their fifth year. And there just seems to be a lot of pressure that they're putting on McVay to win it now, to say, look, the guy's you know been here now. He's got four playoff appearances, a Super Bowl appearance. And that first Super Bowl, you know, I mean, he got completely outcoached by Bill Belichick, and they lost. They only scored 3 points, and now they feel like this is the best opportunity, you know, great opportunity to win it again. But listen, I mean, McShay has defeated him 6 straight times and 7 out of 10. So that's pretty good dominance right there, and that's probably why a lot of people are going to pick the 49ers.
Look, it's a question we wrestled with here for years when it comes to the Suns and the Spurs, right? I mean, the Spurs, it felt like they were living rent-free in the Suns' head for the better part of the early 2000s. Every single playoff series, every single time they would meet, whether it was Bruce Bowen, whether it was Robert Horry, whether it was Tony Parker, whether it was Tim Duncan. I mean, we could go on and on, right? We could write a book about the frustrations we have with that one particular organization. I don't know if this has gotten to that level, but I do know that year the Suns finally beat the Spurs in the playoffs, it did feel like it kind of opened up this universe of possibilities to the Suns. Like, okay, now that you've climbed that mountain, there is nothing that you are not capable of now that you've gotten past them. And maybe the same thing happens to the Rams this weekend. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams are playing really well right now. I mean, it's, you know, Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. have been tremendous for them. You know, Stafford had, you know, for all the doubts about Stafford, and they were legit. I mean, a guy had been in the league for a long time and never won a playoff game, for goodness sakes, you know? So 0-3 in the playoffs, and, you know, that record against teams with a winning record was just brutal. But, you know, He's played well. I mean, you got to give it up to him. So he's playing well. They did win a game which they fumbled the ball a whole lot, but San Francisco won a game in which they didn't score an offensive touchdown. I think it would be normal to pick the 49ers, but I'm leaning Rams right now.
Yeah, I think they'll get the monkey off their back this weekend. I don't know exactly what, you know, I have to believe that. I know that one of the things that the 49ers have done very well this year against the Rams when they've played them is run the football. 135 yards the second time they played, 156 the first time they played. Kyle Shanahan is very good at scheming up running plays to go at LA. It seems to work. I think that's a big part of why they've won their last 6 straight games. And there's no denying, and I keep reading story after story, Gambo, and I don't know if you're doing the same thing, about how the 49er fan takeover of SoFi Stadium might really be a thing. No, I've seen stories that are suggesting on the resale market it is trending for it to be like 65% 49er fans in that building on Sunday afternoon. And if that's the case,
what?
Yeah, seriously. I sent you a story today. Ticket resale.
Sorry, but was it that high?
It was that high. Ticket resale trends suggest more 49er fans than Rams will be at SoFi. Analysis of the ticket resale markets suggest the 49ers will have more fans attending the NFC Championship game than the Rams. I think the number I saw was about 65% when it was all said and done.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that you have a home game and you only have 35% of your fans in there? For an NFC Championship game?
It'd be embarrassing. It'd be absolutely embarrassing. It'd be humiliating.
Wow.
I know, right?
Oh, Matthew Stafford's wife is going to be pissed. She's going to be livid.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw. Oh, there it is, right here. The Los Angeles Times reports the ticket resale site Vivid Seats is estimating that 65% of fans in attendance will be 49er fans. Vivid Seats estimated the crowd was 60%. For that Week 18 matchup between the 49ers and the Rams at SoFi.
You could sit there all day long, right, and say, we're not going to sell to this zip code. But you know what? If you're a 49er fan and you want to go to the game and you can't buy the ticket for $150, but you can buy it for $500, guess what? You're going to buy it for $500. Like, if you're a diet, like, it's not going to keep anybody out. They're just going to spend more money than they want to. Yeah, it would be nice if they could buy it on the regular website for regular price. But what's happening is these people come. You know, my wife does this when sneakers drop, right? Like, you got these things when sneakers drop that you, I don't know, she finds this way to get in there because like six sneakers are dropping this week that she wants, and you got to figure out a way to get in there and get them. Like, these people that are buying these tickets, they're not all, oh my God, I'm a diehard Rams fan and I really want to go to the game. And you're like, no, I want to buy tickets and sell them. I'm going to make a fortune from these 49er fans.
They're capitalists. They're not Rams fans. They want to flip. Right. They want to turn and burn.
If you could buy four tickets for $600 and sell them for $10,000, like, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to do it. I don't care how many fans are in the stadium. For people, it's a business. And so it's you know, that whole zip code thing is just stupid. It's just stupid because it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't
work. It's never worked.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Coyotes continue their road trip and they continue their somewhat unexpected success over the last few weeks. We'll talk with their general manager, Bill Armstrong. He'll join us next on the Burns and Gambo show.